This sermon is by the Reverend J. Christie Ramsey, pastor of Goodyear Heights Presbyterian Church in Akron, Ohio, recorded at the church's classic worship service held Sunday mornings at 9. May you be blessed to be a blessing.
Immediately after the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew, we have our selection, which starts in the 14th chapter of Matthew. Listen and hear the word of God written. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone praying. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward them on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart! It is I! Do not be afraid!" Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got in the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
You ever thought what would have happened news network back in Jesus' time? I read that Bible. I'd be super found it out there on the supermarket checkout. What would the headlines be, do you think, for our story today? Would it be, "Peter walks on water"? I don't think so. I think it'd be something like, "Ghost haunts disciples." You know, in that picture, "Was it an alien?" You know, it's over there. That'd be good. I'd read that. And then there'd be some of the more racy magazines that I've heard about. I don't take those, of course. But one of them would say, "Peter, wet and wild." That'd be great. Yeah, I read that. So there's that one, and there's others. And what? And I think at least one cable news network would headline this: "So-called Savior can't swim." What is the message to take out from Bible class there in the library? One thing that a certain case of news happened was, I think it's not about Peter. It is about Jesus. It is about the Savior. And you know what? If we read the Bible and we think about the Bible in our faith, we really should get down to it and say, not how the Bible is about us and about our situations or about Peter or about disciples. We should always ask, how is this about God? What does this tell us about Jesus? How is Jesus in this story? You see, this story is not so much about supernatural powers of walking on the water. You know what you can do? If you get a certain jelly consistency, you can run across water and all that. And we get all caught up in that. We're all about the science that you can make a gel and liquid that you can walk about, or that maybe they know stones, where the stones are. Maybe he's walking along the reef along the side of the reef. I mean, it was 3 a.m. Maybe they didn't really see he was on the shore. Or maybe there was a shoal or some stones that he knew of. And all sorts, and that's where we go to. We think about walking on the water and we don't think about the people that have not been distracted by the scientific underpinnings that we so desperately want in our Bible stories. We want so much to be science. I was talking to one of the cashiers at Pioneer Market about a week ago, and we talk about God and church and life and love and all that, and you guys are nothing compared to the crowd over there. That crowd says, you know, they want me to prove that God exists. Prove to me that God exists. You know, I can't even prove that I exist. You know, the biggest scientific mind of our time, Stephen Hawking, which is probably what we look back upon, the Einstein or more of our time, Stephen Hawking himself has said that it is possible, and the math works out, and they think it might be true that everything we know, the universe, everything that's in the continuum, everything may just be a hologram. Look it up. It could be we could all be a hologram. The whole universe could be a hologram, a flat projection, a projection on a flat surface. So scientists, the greatest minds on the entire earth, cannot prove that the universe even exists, except as a hologram. I'm not going to prove to you God. But you know, that doesn't stop us trying. We want to God to prove. And you know what? What is the problem that Jesus points out in this whole scripture? We got a lot of things going on here. We got them dismissing the crowds. We got them sending the kids. Go take a boat ride. Leave me alone. I got to go pray. He got that going on. We got walking on the water. We got the, hey, who are you? I thought you're a ghost. We got the ghost going thing. And we got the walking on the water, we got him commanding to come, and the sinking, and the terrified, and all this. Through all of this happening, all this drama, Jesus asked this question. And you know, the story's about Jesus. Why'd you doubt? Now, doubting isn't the kind of doubt that say, I doubt whether I could fly off this pulpit, or I doubt that you could just jump. It's a doubt that makes you go, I don't know whether I should or not. Maybe yes, maybe no. You know, it's that doubt, like when you're at, I don't know, Eddie's Deli. And you're there the first time, and the server comes up to you and says, what would you like? And you say, I don't know, there's so much I can't decide. You know there's food there. You know it's probably good. You know what the words mean. You don't have any doubt that you're in a restaurant. The doubt is, I don't know what to decide. I don't know what I'm going to do. Jesus says, why do you doubt? Why do you have to put me to the test? If you look at that test there that Peter says, it's a test, isn't it? It's kind of a weaselly worded test, you know. Lord, if it is you. Now, Lord is what you say to someone that's a Lord, that's a God, that's the person, that's an appropriate address. But he kind of ruins it. If it is you, then I want you to do something. I want you to command me to walk on the water. Isn't that kind of sneaky? Lord, I want you to command me to do something. Well, who's doing the commanding? Peter, not the Lord. He's commanding the Lord to command. Do we do that? Do I do that? I do that. I know I do. Lord, I want your will to be this, and then I'll follow it. Lord, I want you to set things up so I have to do this, because that's what I really want to do anyhow. We do that all the time. And of all the things that went on there, you know, thinking about ghosts, being terrified, very poor, being in a boat, not really being able to get across. You know, the city of Akron could fit into the Sea of Galilee, pretty much just fit with a little bit left over. And took them all night, they couldn't get across. Okay. You know, he could have brought them up on those charges, saying, hey, come on, guys. But of all the things that were going on in there, feeding the 5,000, was just done, all this stuff, he says, why can't you make a decision? Why can't you
commit that I am the Lord as going back and forth of saying, Lord, and then over, if it is you. Back and forth, can't decide. Lord, if it's you, then do this. We do it all the time. You know, you probably heard many sermons from this scripture, probably a couple from me. And I'm going to tell you right now, all the ones that talk about getting out of the boat and walking on the water and all that, you're probably saying, I don't know about that. I want to tell you something different today. I want you to consider that the faithful ones are the ones in the boat. The faithful, obedient ones are the ones in the boat. Jesus told them to get in the boat. They got in the boat. Peter says, no, I want to come out there and do that. You know, in that doubting word, you ever heard that doubting word? Jesus says that doubting word one other time. He says it to Thomas. And it got smacked, attached to his name. Because Thomas wanted to poke Jesus' holes in his hands and his side. And then he would believe. In the same way, Peter says, I doubt you. And I don't want to poke my hand in you. Doubting Peter. Some of us, we want to get out and go to Jesus where Jesus should be and tell Jesus, you're out there, I'm going to be out there, I'm going to be out there. Jesus said, no, stay in the boat. I'll come to you. You know, we never want Jesus in our boat. We'd rather go where Jesus is, on a mission trip, on a worship outing to church. We'd rather go out and do something in service and come back to our boat. Is you, let's do a miracle out there. Just don't come in here. In here is where I'm scared. It's where I'm vulnerable. It's where I don't know things. I don't want you in the boat because you might change things. I'll go over there for a while. I'll come visit. I'll go do holy things. Let's do great things together, but then don't come in the boat. I'll do when I want to do what I want to do in my time doing great things for God. But don't come in the boat. Don't come to where I am. Don't come to my house. I was talking to Gary Moneypenny. You know, Gary Moneypenny has been going around knocking on doors for some reason. I think Avon. I don't know what he's doing. But he's going around knocking on all these doors. He does it all day long. And I was talking to him and he goes, you know, people don't answer the door. They don't come to the door. You know, and Gary's not too scary looking. You know, people don't come to the door. Stand the door knock. Don't come in the boat, Jesus. If I tell you what, Jesus, you and me could do this later on, and we'll do it this way and that way, and you could do a miracle on the way, but don't come in the boat, Jesus. I don't want you in the boat. You work. It doesn't happen when you jump out and say, I'm going to do a great thing for God. You go run out on the water. Jesus let you do that. Jesus let Thomas poke him in the side. Now, if it was my daughter, Willis, boom, he'd get hit. My daughter don't like poking. You can ask Willis about that. But Jesus is okay with that, and the miracles are all right with that. But I want you to look at this. The boat was full of all sorts of problems. Jesus got in and seized. Only when they left Jesus in the boat. I was thinking about it over my life. Sometimes I've given up a miracle and given it to God. And I'm going to tell you one short, one long one. One one I was at. Now my mom's here, and this really cuts down the stories I can tell you. It's very upsetting. But one time I was at. Running around, it was a night, we went all over.
over the baseball field, and we were playing tag, and we were playing kickball and hide and seek, and up and down. Oh, it was a great time. We got up. When we got up in the morning, it was blurry. Now tonight I didn't notice, but at daytime, what can I see? The lens of the glass was gone. It was gone. It was gone. I go, oh, I'm going to be in so much trouble. I lost the lens out of my glass. That's a lot of money. Oh, man, where is that lens? Oh, man, let's walk out right over here. You know, and I did look for it. I looked for that transparent piece of plastic outdoors. I looked all over the place. I looked everywhere. I tried to figure out why I walked this way, I walked that way, I walked here, I was in the shower, I was over here, I was over there, I tried to figure out all this. Oh man, I go, this, what am I kidding? There's no way I'm going to find this. There's no way. Even if I stood right on it, I couldn't see it. I mean, it's clear, it's a piece of glass. Oh, I'm stuck. But I did something that I didn't usually do. I just stopped, put my head down, and I said, God, let me find my glass, my lens. And you know, when I pray, I have my head down, and amen, I open my eyes, I saw a glint in the glass. I didn't turn my head one way or the other, up or down. I just opened my eyes for prayer, and I saw a glint. A double blind study and do the person that prayer was in this. I think at that point, relying on myself to do something, relying on God. Come into the boat. You may have heard this and thought over the years, man, I can't get out of that boat. I can't go walking on that waves. I wouldn't even ask Jesus to ask me to come out. I'd be too scared that I'd be falling down in the wave. But I think the point of the story, it's not Jesus saying to Peter, why were you frightened? Jesus didn't say, why did you sink? Because the scripture said that when Peter sunk, it wasn't because he doubted, it was because he was terrified. The doubt came when he said, if it is you, Lord, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus was okay about him sinking. I think Jesus was okay about him being afraid of going down to sea. But Jesus wasn't okay about the test. He wasn't okay about a doubt. He said, you know, if you didn't doubt me, you would have stayed in the boat. You would have been safe and dry. And we could have been together worshiping. So yeah, stay in the boat. The question is not whether you stay or get out. The question is whether you trust God enough, whether you trust Jesus enough to let him get in the boat with you. Amen.